Welcome to another edition of You and Your Money. I'm Brian Hirst. This evening we are focusing on investments. Yesterday, Sunday Business Times headlines read, Economic recovery gets extra kick as state of disaster ends. Unfortunately, there does not seem to be any correlation between these headlines and what is happening on the ground. Inflation is up, the fuel price higher, interest rates are being raised with more to come. Those working are struggling to meet their commitments. And those who are not working, who are on a government grant, are living on 11 Rand 60 per day. The Rand is probably as strong as it's going to be, with the likelihood of the weakening in the years ahead. Joining me this evening is Oren Tambo, Portfolio Manager, 27-4 Investment Managers, and Craig Pfeiffer, Chief Investment Strategist at Sasfin Wealth. Craig, Oren, thank you very much for joining me this evening. The very first question is, Oren, please just make some sense of this.
Yeah, so I think it has been a very tough quarter, you know, and when you look at what has been happening. So initially, one of the key drivers was essentially the fear around the pace at which the central banks were going to tighten the monetary policy in trying to control inflation. And that really caused a lot of sell-off in the markets. So we saw markets coming down quite significantly in January. And then, obviously, before that theme could play out, that's when we started having the Russia-Ukraine issue with Russia, after having invaded Ukraine. And obviously, I think investors were trying to drill down in terms of what is going to be the impact of that invasion on various macroeconomic factors. And I think the key takeaway that has been coming out there is the fact that it was going to exacerbate inflation. And obviously, we're probably going to see more aggressive policy tightening coming through. And I think after that, we started seeing markets coming back a little bit. But those are the three key themes that we're seeing in the market at the moment. It's your inflation. It's geopolitics, and obviously the impact in terms of the path that the economic growth is going to take.
Craig, when we talk about economic recovery, and we talk about the man in the street, or the person in the street rather, I don't want to be used as gender, but you talk about the person in the street struggling. I mean, they're waiting to hear that they can borrow from their pension funds. These are the only people who contribute to pension funds are people who are working. And these are people who are working who now need money from their pension fund. What about all the others that don't have? But in terms of this, I mean, we talk about tightening of rates. We've been expecting that. I mean, we've been warned about that for months. Why is the market reacting when that's part of the expectation, normalizing economies?
Yeah, I think it's as Oren said, it's all of these crises still, on top of each other, in amalgamation or in all together. We were anticipating interest rates were going to go up. But if you go back 6 months, the first interest rate hike in the US was expected in 2023 sometime. As inflation has picked up and accelerated, and we're expecting the CPI in the US this week to continue to go up to unprecedented levels, sort of 8.5% numbers. So that's accelerated that path of interest rate hiking. And now the question is more about how many times is the Fed going to raise rates by 50 basis points this year, as opposed to, when will they start putting up interest rates? So it's all been brought forward and brought forward very quickly by the inflation rate. So that's disconcerting for markets. It's also distorted the bond market. Yields have kicked up. And the market doesn't like these uncertainties like that. So if it all played out over the longer term, and we saw, the Fed cutting back on their asset purchases slowly as they'd planned, as they'd programmed, and then started putting up interest rates, as the market thought, gradually in 25 basis point intervals, then the market would have taken that in its stride. But I think the fact that you've accelerated this whole program, they cut short their bond buying program very quickly and put up rates very quickly. And now, as I say, we're starting to talk bigger size rate hikes in the US. Locally, it's a bit different. We don't have the same kind of inflation problem. We don't have the same kind of demand. Our economy isn't very strong, really, as it is. You're not seeing the consumer going out there and demanding goods and services that's pushing up prices. But in the US, you've got a very robust economy at full employment, and those people are demanding more goods and services, and that's also helping drive up inflation. And I think that's one of the reasons why they've, in the US, they've accelerated that rate hike process. But here, it's still and should still be more gradual, over the year ahead. And even three rate hikes this year, three rate hikes next year locally, we're still not back to the level of that 6% the repo rate was at before the pandemic hit. So I think we can still thank our lucky stars that we're kind of getting out of this a bit more unscathed than some of our global colleagues.
Aaron, at the moment, we're exporting a lot more. And in previous years, our balance of payments have been poor. A lot of imports and less exports. All of a sudden, a lot more exporting. The local industry is surviving on local manufacture, and local manufacturing is virtually non-existent. I mean, can we see our surplus increasing over the months ahead, or is this likely to reverse? I mean, how long can this commodity boom carry on?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. So I think we've had quite a lot of tailwinds as a country, and that was because of higher commodity prices, and that really played out particularly within the mining sector. So with our miners, they're getting very high prices. And I think for a long time, right, so they were getting also a bit of a boost from the rand because the rand was weakening during that period of time. But lately, I think we've seen a sort of a reversal in terms of the rand, with the rand, strengthening, and obviously that's sort of reducing the revenues that these miners and many other exporters are getting in rand terms. So at the end of the day, I think when you look at the surplus, it's going to be a balance of. We also don't have to forget the fact that energy prices have gone up quite significantly. So we import a lot of our energy requirements. So we import oil, and we know that oil has been going up. So it's going to be, at the end of the day, the balance between what we're going to pay for energy and what we're going to get in terms of the exports that we're getting. But I think the consensus in the market at the moment is that we're probably not going to get the kind of surplus that we got during COVID, because during that period there was also a kicker in the form that because of restrictions that were around the world, we're not importing as much as well. So the import side was also sort of constrained. But that, again, I mean, is no longer there because our restrictions have been loosened across the world.
Craig, if we'd been sitting here a year ago, would you have predicted the rand at around about the 14.50 mark today?
Probably not. I think the rand has benefited from this, the windfall of the commodity prices. I expect it could still stay, stronger for a little while still. I think in your intro you said it's probably as good as it gets, and I'd probably agree with that. As well, maybe go a little bit better or not as it trades. But I think we're around the firmest levels we might see. But it's on the back of those great trade surpluses that have fed through into a strong current account surplus. That current account surplus was expected to diminish over the course of this year and even go into a deficit sort of towards the end of the year, which for me would have been one of the weaknesses, the structural weaknesses behind the currency, and would have seen it reverse a bit. But we've had these commodity prices now stay elevated. There's a lot of the commodities have a war premium in the price. But, even if the war was out the way, there's still a number of supply constraints or lesser supply than demand in a lot of the individual markets, the likes of platinum, for example, that could keep those prices high still. So I don't think the trade balance will collapse in a heap, when the war's over. So we can still benefit from that for a while, but not to the same extent of those 50 billion plus trade surpluses of last year.
Craig, how are you managing portfolios in this environment? What are you doing? Just sitting or what are you advising clients?
Yes, well, I've used all of the regular expressions, don't panic, stay the course, all of those things. But I pulled a graph of the JSE the other day, just from the beginning of the millennium, the 22 years that we've had so far. We've lived through more crises than you could even remember or care to remember. 9/11, Enron, you name it, the global financial crisis, the war. You remember Zuma and his two finance ministers in 2 days, all of that. And over that time period, the market has still grown. The index has still grown. Throw in dividends, take off inflation, you're still getting close to 8% real return. For each of those years. So it's about the longer term. Just stay the course And we'll get past all of these crises. We seem to have more than one at a time at the moment. But this too shall pass, they say.
They're coming quicker than previously.
They certainly are. They're coming in greater numbers. But I think that doesn't change the underlying philosophy or approach. Just bide your time. Don't try and get in, get out. You know, try and trade it. And just, you know, if you've bought your quality investments at the start, keep watching them. Tweak them if you have to, but tweak, not in, get out, you know, in and out completely, and just stay the course.
Craig, I've got a graph in my office going back to 1920. That's 102 years. And I've said on this program that 50 out of 50 times I've been right, and not many people can claim to be right 50 out of 50 times, which means I've said the markets always rise to new highs. And this graph shows you all the different trends, but always rise to new high. From your point of view, I mean, you're very much also in fund management, picking funds.
Yep.
I mean, are you finding very different decisions being made by fund managers?
Yeah, well, I mean, so I think in terms of strategy generally, I don't think there's any better strategy than, you know, what has been said by Craig. It's always to stay calm. But, you know, the way we look at it is with every macroeconomic event that happens in the market, for us, there are a couple of things that you can do. You can either take advantage of it because every event creates its own opportunities, or you can try to mitigate, or you could try to probably even diversify and see how you can play it. So, for instance, I think if we take an example of inflation, you know that when you have very high inflation, the response from central banks will be to tighten monetary policy, so you're going to have very high interest rates. So what do you do in terms of your portfolio decisions? What you have to try and do perhaps is to try and reduce your duration. So pull back a little bit in those assets that are very sensitive to interest rates. So in the equity markets, we've seen, I think, in January with some of the fund managers trying to pull back a little bit from growth assets. Not all of them, but those sort of high duration growth assets, and they've been going to value, and then within their bond sort of holdings, especially on the global space, they've been pulling back on duration. So if you had very long duration bonds, they've been pulling back a little bit. So and also again, I mean, in terms of how can you take advantage of these, there are certain assets that tend to do well in a high inflation environment. So if you can look, for instance, in terms of property, we know that property tends to have very this ability to pass on costs to consumers, quality companies within the equity space as well. So we kind of see sort of a gravitation, you know, towards those assets. But again, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about making sure that your portfolio is diversified, so that even if, you know, your conviction is wrong to some extent, you know that your portfolio will be able to sell the cost.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about interest rates, and I want to talk about inflation, and I want to talk about recession, because that's one of the big concerns when interest rates start to rise. But we'll talk about that when I come back. We're going to take a short break. Please stay with us. You can call us on 011-484-0468, or you can still email me on brian@bdtv.co.za. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.